grace, talking about amazing grace. And it's so true. We made it this far by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, just come to you this morning, thanking you for your grace. For it was by your grace that we made it this far. Father, just thank you for your Spirit living among us, is here, rich among us this morning, Lord. I thank you, Father, as your word goes forth today, Lord. Thank you, Father, for just removing me from it, and I just want to speak everything that you have to say this morning. And Father, I thank you, you have already prepared our hearts to receive your word in Jesus' name. Let us say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may have a seat. This morning, I just want to ask one question before I get started. How many of you all are working? Got a job, you're working? Everybody retired. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Retirement is good, isn't it? But also, how many of y'all are doing? How are you treated on your job? If it's bad or good? Are you waiting for a promotion? You hadn't gotten it yet? This morning, see, God has already been to our tomorrow. He's backing up to let us live this day. But one thing, just me talking a little bit about has a lot to do with your job and how you're presenting God on your job. And things aren't going right or going bad, this should really be encouragement to you. Even if you go into the next year, this day, you'll know how to handle every situation that you may be confronted with. The title this morning is True Promotion Comes from God. And I'm going to talk about God's promotion. And I don't want you all to really get too upset when you see the scriptures. It says Daniel 3, verses 1 through 30. I'm not going to read Daniel 3, 1 through 30. So just be at ease there. A promotion is when you are lifted up from one level to the next level. You know, just like being promoted on your job. A promotion is a good experience. To go through things that lift you up to a higher level, in Daniel chapter 3, a promotion is going to take place. It's a well-known story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Somebody knew I started to. Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. But just in case no one knows the story, I'm going to say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're going to go through a tough trial. They're going to encounter God in a bad situation. Now, some of the things in this passageway may not feel right. You may be a little uncomfortable about it. But that's a good thing. Because the more uncomfortable it is, the better the possibility of a divine encounter with God. I'll give you a little. Now, this is where y'all going to be blessed at. I'm not reading from 1 all the way to 30. I'm going to give you a little background about this story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find themselves working in a secular culture because they're in Babylon. Now, Babylon is an evil, pagan, idolatrous country. Because of Israel's sin, see, God sent Babylon to invade Israel because of the sin that Israel had done. And in doing so, They brought many of their, when Babylon went in, they brought up many of their young people back to Babylon to live and to work. Now, Daniel and three Hebrew boys were a part of that group that was brought back from Israel to Babylon. And now they have to live their life and do their work in a non-Christian environment. That's why I asked you a question about your job. How are you doing on your job? Are you the only Christian there? Do you have other Christians there? Most of them not Christians on your job. Many of you tomorrow will go to work in a pagan environment where the people you work for, the people you work with, the people you share your Christian, they don't share your same Christian views and attitude. They don't believe what you believe. They don't act like you act. They don't talk like you talk. They don't walk like you walk. Because we have to provide for ourselves and for our families, and we have to do that, so we have to go to work. The story of the three Hebrew boys, they find themselves working for the government because they were administrators in the regime of Nebuchadnezzar, who was a governing head of Babylon. So they were government employees working for a pagan government. You hear that, Sister Janice? Yeah? She works for the government. They were sent to Babylonian schools. And you find that in Daniel chapter 1, talks about the Babylonian schools. They were indoctrinated with Babylonian thinking. They were even given Babylonian names after the name of a Babylonian god. So the culture was trying to destroy everything that they had learned in Israel. And they tried to reprogram them, so to speak, to Babylonianize them, trying to take their mindset from the ring that they had and the faith that they had when they were raised up in Israel, trying to change their culture, take God out of their culture. And so the three Hebrew boys are caught in a cultural tension, how they were raised and what they were taught to believe, and where we have to live and earn our money, where we have to live and function, and other people we have to be around because of the nature of the job in which we are situated in. The question is, how do a Christian live in an environment that doesn't support your Christianity? This story, and if you may have to do it in your thinking a little bit faster, because as I'm going to tell you about this story, it's also telling about what's happening right now, today, in our culture, where we have to live and function in. The question is, how do a Christian live in an environment like we are living in that doesn't support our Christianity? When the environment that you are in is trying to pull you away from your faith, as some of our colleges and they try to do with our children, and it's the society that we live in. So that is the situation where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel's a part of that, are in. But something happens in the beginning of chapter 3, and Nebuchadnezzar, the head of Babylon, he developed a God a smaller God mentality, and he tried to, how would I put it, instead of the deity, he tried to dematize himself, make himself a deity. And it goes on to say in the first 9 verses of the chapter, it says, you'll see 7 times discussions about this image he built to himself. He built a statue of honor to himself, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Not only that, he comes up with a new law. The law says that everybody is supposed to bow to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. He calls all of his leaders together and says, I want you to bow. That is law now. Then in verse 6, he gives a warning. It says, but whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. Now, the issue falls around one thing. Who you going to worship? It says he built a statue, and he says you are to worship before the statue. At the heart of the Bible, of Genesis to Revelation, is the issue of idolatry. The definition of idolatry is an idol of any person, place, or thing that becomes your source. So any person, place, or thing, or thought that becomes your source has become your God. Anything that competes with God of the Bible as the thing you ultimately look to as your source is your God. No matter whether you call it your God or not, doesn't matter. If that's your source, it's your God. You're made of God of it. We live in a culture that not only wants our work, because like I said, on your job, you do a good job. People don't mind you working because you do a good job. What they don't want is you bringing your religion to work. Anything that competes with God, the Bible says, you ultimately look toward as your source. Because often they ask us to compromise our biblical values in order to be accepted or in order to be promoted. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves in a dilemma, and their career was on the line. While all of this was taking place, racism showed its ugly head. And because in verse 8 it says, for this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. So the Babylonians brought charges against the Jews. They didn't like the Jews. They want the way the Jews were working at the company. And the reason they didn't like the Jews was because the Jews brought their faith to work. They didn't like that. They weren't followers of God. The Jews were, but the people that at the company that they worked didn't like that. So the question is, if you were accused of being a Christian on your job, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Or would you be found innocent of all charges? In other words, you know about your faith, but does anybody else know about your faith? These Jews were clearly followers of God. They could not condemn them because of their work. They had good work ethics. So they would condemn them because of their faith. So these three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, find themselves in a dilemma because now Babylonians who work with them, their co-workers, come and start playing politics with them. They say, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, you have these Jewish guys here, and they won't bow. But they come to work, and they do their job, but you told them to bow. And they are not submitting to the authority of the company. So Nebuchadnezzar, he says, find out this minority group that will not bow. He says, and bring them here to me. And in verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, enraged and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. And in verse 14 and in verse 15, it says, I'm going to give you, in other words, he's going to give them another chance. And then he asked the question. In the middle of verse 15, he says, but if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who will deliver you out of my hands? The question is, I am that he had for himself. He says, I am so powerful. This company is so strong. This government is so much in my control that if I fire you, you will really be fired. And you don't know anybody who can overrule my decision because I am head man in charge. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego responded to the king. Okay. So they either talked at the same time or one talked for all three of them because it says all three responded. That is why we need to hook up with some other Christians in your company so that you won't be alone. And in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. Verse 17 says, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hands, O king. God is able. We are to look at our occupation as service to the Lord through the vehicle of the company. It is hard. It is the Lord whom we serve. We have to work there, but we also have to serve the Lord first. The God who says he is able, because that is what got in trouble in the first place. Their God says, they said, our God is able. Co-workers knew that they were served, that they served the Lord, but many Christians divorced their everyday work from their service to God. In other words, a lot of Christians are Christians away from work, but when they go to work, they're just like everybody else. They try to hide their Christianity. And these three boys didn't. But because we serve him, the God who is served, is able to deliver us. The rest of the story is, even if he does not, because there are things you need to know about God. First of all, we know that he is powerful. We know that he is able. But he is sovereign. So we can choose in either word. In other words, you never let God's omnipotent power cancel out his being sovereignty, his sovereignty. God must have the option in any situation to choose what the right thing to do at that moment. And sometimes he doesn't. And you need a theology that covers when he doesn't. Because if you don't have a theology that covers when he doesn't do anything, then you're going to blame and get mad and blame God for it, or either blame that preacher standing out there behind the poor podium telling you that God is able. So you need a theology deep enough to understand that he is able, whether you see him doing, whether you see him moving at that time or not. You know, you got to know that he is able. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. So you got to keep both intentions. And about both, you must have the same thing. He is able when he does it. And if I don't see him do it right now, he's still able. Because they said, even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, we respect you. We're going to work for you. We're not going to serve your God or worship your golden image that you have set up for yourself. And in verse 19, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath. His facial expression was altered towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know why that bad Negro keep coming up. And Abednego. In other words, the king says, who do you think you are talking to? Do you know who I am? You know that I'm the man in charge. I control all of these things, everything that happens here. If looks could kill, you ever heard that expression? You made somebody so angry and all it did was stir at you. If looks could kill, and I can see him as face was altered, it says. Up is his mouth, he swole up like he had a mouthful of bumblebees. He was so mad, he gave orders to heat the furnace 7 times hotter than usual, than it was usually heated. We are talking about KFC extra crispy here. This is like your boss saying to you, look, if you don't do what I tell you, I'm going to fire you. You will be fired. I will see to it that you will never work in this town again. I have that much power. My company is that strong. Because I will get the word out and you will never be hired. Now, I've heard that before. Done with especially actors and actresses. Because people who are in the movies, they did something wrong to one promoter. And he gets the word out. And there's a couple of actresses and actors now that can't get a job. That's why you haven't seen them on the screen. They were blackballed, so to speak. So he was mad. So the men who brought them to the furnace, it was so hot it burned them up. And verse 21 says, they tied them up. Verse 23 says, but these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. They were still tied up. God didn't deliver them from the furnace. He let them get fired. But something happened. See, I don't care. That's why we, and God wants you to know this, because this things are going to change greatly in this next year coming up. Already you had companies that have closed up because larger companies put them out of business. Already you have other companies that are large now, but you have companies online like Amazon and these different companies like that are making it hard for your store big companies owners. That's why they're coming up with new promotions. Now you can buy food and just call them up and tell them what you want, and they'll bring your food to you. You make groceries through the phone. Things are getting so, it's going to get tight. So, verse 24 says, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded. He stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, was it not 3 men that we cast into the midst of the fire? They replied to the king, certainly, O king. Verse 25, look, come over here. Look at this peephole. Look for yourself. My math is not that bad. He says, look, I see 4 men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth, he says, I'm reading from the New American Standard. He said, it is like a son of the gods. I think in one translation it says, look like somebody from heaven. We put 3 men in there, right? They say, yeah, well, king, we did. Yes, we did. Well, how come I see 4? And they're all walking around when we had them tied up. We did tie them up, right? And they're not crispy. They don't look harmed. They don't even look burnt. You see, sometimes when God wants to give you an encounter with him, sometimes he will put you out. Sometimes he'll take you out, won't allow you to go in, but sometimes he will deliver you from it. Sometimes you have to, you know, don't worry about anything, but sometimes you have to worry about it. You're gonna be worried because God, look, it's getting hot and I'm getting closer and closer to this furnace, getting warm, and God let him go in the furnace. Sometimes he wants you to see what it's like when you are in the fire and not being burned by the fire. You have situations in our life, even this past year, some of us been in situations that it looked bad. You prayed for it not to happen, but it happened anyway. Did you stop praising God for it? See, there's some bad things happening even this past year. Even the queen says this past year been a little bumpy. You know, if it's bumpy for the queen of England, it's bumpy for everybody. But we have some tough situations, I'm talking not only on your jobs, I'm not talking about that right now, because we serve a God when he talks about a blessed encounter with God, it can be in any situation. A lot of times it's our health. A lot of times it's finances. It can be concerning a lot. I'm just saying about your job, because when you're coming up, job's going to be hard, and I'll get to it in a little bit, and you're going to find out why in a little bit later. But right now, to have an encounter with God, sometimes we get in a situation so tight, Lord, they say that I'm going to have this surgery. I need the surgery. And said, Lord, I'm praying that I don't have to have this surgery. This is going to be real serious. Say, I may not come out of it. And Lord, he didn't stop it. He allowed you to have your surgery. It says, you're in a bad situation at work. And he was working right beside you. He said, I see four men, and the fourth one looked like somebody straight from heaven. Sometimes he wants to join you in a bad situation. Without taking you out of it, he's just going to join you in it. But whether he takes you from it or join you in it, you have to have an encounter of the living God. You know, and I think about that sometimes. Sometimes I came on the brink of something tragic could happen. I've been to both sides of it. And most of the time, one of the times it was in war. We were being hit. I was in artillery. When we first round come in, we had a certain position on the gun we had to man. Some reason, it was God, allow our fire direction center to be hit. So if the fire direction center is hit, nobody's there to counteract the fire that's coming in. So we couldn't get on the gun because we didn't know where to shoot or how to shoot. We couldn't do it. That next morning at daybreak, we got hit with about 40-some rounds of fell impound and rockets that missed the compound. My position on that gun, I would have been dead or lost both of my lower limbs. A piece of scrap metal that long, that thick, stuck into the lower rim of my, that's where I stood. If I had jumped on my 5'8" to deliver the ammo to that, because I had that job too. It's a little black star on the side of the door, had a hole in it like that. It would have taken out all of this. So when I get into a bad situation, I know it was God who brought me through that. It was God who allowed a situation to hit. Nobody was killed. You injured. It was God who allowed it to hit the fire direction center so we couldn't get orders to man the gun or to put the ammo in place to fire back. Tell me God is able. You say, well, you know, something about Miss Lottie. You know, we've been in bad situations, and this I know, because sometimes God wants to join you in a situation rather than take you out. And because you're supposed to, you know, when he don't take you out and allow you to be in that bad situation, the devil just look for us to, and people that are not saved will look at you, and they want you to, you know, to, you're supposed to be all bad and all depressed, and like Elvis said, you'll be all shook up, you walking around, don't know what to do, all nervous. He wants you to be depressed. He just wants you to be downtrodden. He wants you to be worried. He wants you to be hollering. He wants you to be walling around in disgust. But see, you didn't do that. God says, and you were walking around in the midst of all of that, and you still praise God. You were in the situation. Now, how does it feel to be retired? How does it feel that God says, I'm going to look out after you? He says, I'm your source. Don't worry about the money. Don't you worry about a thing. Who's that? Stevie Wonder? Don't you worry about a thing. He got you. Brother Tony, how does it look to have weak? And I'm going to ask Mrs. Tony, how do you feel that your husband had weakened off? See, because he didn't stop praising God. It's many situations and circumstances that really been bad. I know my wife had shared one on her job, and you know, and I told her a good thing I didn't know, because I would have gone up there. I've been locked up now. Mess with my baby. But God moved in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And Linda wouldn't tell me either. But I know, I don't want to get too long. See, y'all thought I was going to read all from 1 to 30. And I mentioned KFC Crispy Chicken, and some of y'all getting hungry. So I'm going to be done in a little bit. Turn your Bibles. Now, this is something I want you to just keep in your mind. Turn to 1 Peter. We're going to do a little walking here in the New Testament that's going to change your bad situation at work. This is going to change your bad suffering season in your life. 1 Peter 2 and 20, he says, for what credit is there if when you sin, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience. But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endured it, this finds favor with God. So if you're doing right and taking the right stand and you're making God glad, you're finding favor with God, even though you are suffering. 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 14. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. Verse 17 says, for it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right, rather than for doing what is wrong. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. After you have suffered for a little while, and God is all grace, remember God's grace? Who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. God just wanted to let you know that he has everything in his control. Your job is just not your resource, which is your job. That's just your resource. God says, I am your source. Heavenly Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you for being able to do everything that you say you're going to do. I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your power. Lord, I just thank you for your love right now for us. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that even though how simplified it is, your word is made simple that we may understand.